Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. Steve Jones with Kevin Herr in tow. You don't like the in tow part?
Listen, after watching last night's race, there was a lot of towing going on. There were tow trucks all over the place. You're brutal. I'm not sure if I like the tow part.
You're brutal, man. Brutal. All right. Well, do we have our opening guest set up?
Absolutely. You are all good to go.
Wonderful. We bring in friend and a guy that everyone universally respects, Joe Lunardi. Joe, great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, Kevin, I have a question hearing that in tow comment.
Okay.
Because when I think of auto racing, which is rare, don't you think it would be a better sport if there was a bracket and there was like single elimination race-offs?
Every sport.
It's just round and round and round and round.
Joe, every sport with a bracket's better.
Would you have like 64 or more in the bracket?
I mean, that would be up to, you know, people above our pay grade. But, I mean, I even watched more of the PGA event this past week because it was the match play, and it was seeded 1 through 64.
And that is the way it should be.
I agree. Well, now that we solved that problem, let's go on to, I don't know, world hunger and Middle East peace.
Yeah, now that we have that solved, and by the way, we have Danica Patrick seated fifth.
Oh, that's a pretty good seed. Yeah, that's not bad.
I think she might be a bit underseated there.
Well, Joe, obviously, now that we've solved the NASCAR problem, by the way, where would you have seated, by the way, the dryer truck that blew up? Where would you have seated that?
Definitely in the play-in game. And we could have like a little drive-in window. I mean, it could really work.
I thought it was a Joey Chitwood thing for a moment there when I was watching it last night. I was waiting for somebody to jump through it.
I'm a little better with Jimmy Chitwood.
Or Jimmy, rather. Yeah, thank you.
See, Joe, now you know what I run into. You're correcting him now.
Somebody has to keep me in line.
First of all, Joe, before we get to anybody else, I want to discuss the turnaround at St. Joe's. I saw the talent last year that he had, the young talent that Phil Martelli had, and I felt, and I told Dick Girardi this, that Dick, I think he has something. To see the turnaround from minus 20 in the loss column to now just about 20 in the win column, what have you seen this year that's really been encouraging about St. Joe's basketball?
Well, I think we started to see it at the end of last season, Steve. The team was 0-8 in the first half of Atlantic 10 play a year ago on merit or lack of it, and then 4-4 in the back end of the schedule, and then won three elimination games through the A-10 tournament, finally losing in overtime to Dayton in the league semifinals. So there was certainly optimism. And then this year... You know, very up and down for long stretches, and even within games, I think, A, because of youth, but even more so, kind of the lack of a true point guard. So sometimes it can get a little rudderless out there, but the athleticism and the skill level of the Hawks is certainly as high as it's been, you know, in a long, long time. And I appreciate your asking.
And the next part is, I watched the game against Temple the other night. I was just impressed as to how they attacked that game, and that it's great for St. Joe's within the framework of the Big Five in the city to get the Villanovas and the Temples in their own building.
I think it has come to that. You know, I'm still a Philly Hoops and Palestra purist. I would love to see all the Big Five games at the Palestra. You know, in our 4-year series with you guys, you've gotten, I guess, one at each place now. But, you know, if the other schools, for their own legitimate reasons, and I'm not speaking ill of Temple and Villanova, I get and respect what they're doing. because it's all about now building a profile to get in the NCAA tournament. And given that, you know, if they're playing you at their house when it's your turn, you really can't give up the home court advantage. And the Hawks have been doing that for years. And if somehow they end up sneaking into the tournament this year, and it's because of beating Villanova and Temple, well, maybe that will have turned out to be a pretty good decision.
Where does the program that you work for stand in your bracketology right now? How far out are they?
Three spots. Team number 71 on the board at this moment, with the proviso that, of course, much can and will change over the next, you know, dozen days leading up to and through Selection Sunday, and that the bubble tends to shrink a bit as we get down toward crunch time because of upsets, you know, here, there, and everywhere in conference tournaments. On average, and I wrote this earlier in the week, on average, 2.1 bid thieves a year from conference tournaments. And over the last 10 years, that's come out to anywhere between 1 and 4 in a given season. So not only do you want to get on the right side of the bubble now with a week and a half to go, you want to get a couple spots beyond that to feel comfortable. And certainly the Hawks are in no position to feel comfortable, nor are any other teams in that situation. But taking the longer view, as you say, to go from back-to-back 20-loss seasons to, at worst, it appears, an NIT home game, that is feeling pretty good, or should feel pretty good, to fans at St. Joseph's.
Now, it should be pointed out that when people look at bracketology with you, when you put out last four in, first four out, it is on that date. This is not you projecting the tournament. It would be if the announcement were today.
Correct.
And I think people have to understand that when they read it.
Yeah, and it's really the only way you can do it and follow all the principles and procedures of seeding and bracketing that the actual committee undertakes. Obviously, I have opinions. You know, one might have an opinion, let's say, that after scraping by in-state college last weekend, Northwestern, the current last team in, number 68, or, if you will, more accurately, number 37 in the at-large pool, out of 37, that, you know, they could lose at home Wednesday night to Ohio State. They could certainly lose at Iowa to close the regular season, and then at 6 and 10, they likely would not be in our projected field at that point. So because projecting involved more than just one team, but every team that team plays, the only logical way to go about it is to take a snapshot from a moment in time.
What makes Northwestern to you that last team in? Because I've obviously had a chance to see several schools in person. I find them to be an interesting case.
Yeah, and I've seen them quite a bit myself, Steve. You know, the game on Saturday for one, but we St. Joseph's, in a tournament with them down in Charleston back in November, and I saw them against the Tulsa, and I saw them against Seton Hall. And I thought, you know, in Sherna and Crawford in particular, they have a couple high-level guys, you know, who certainly passed the quote-unquote eye test. And as a team, you know, they played a terrific schedule. They have beaten Michigan State. They did beat Seton Hall, another likely tournament team on a neutral floor. And they've sure been in a number of other games against NCAA-level teams. I still think they're probably one scalp short of being in the field, but they're going to get those opportunities starting tomorrow night against Ohio State. That would give them both Ohio State and Michigan State as not just marquee wins, but super marquee wins. And I think if that were to happen, they would end up seeing their name in the field for the first time in, what, forever.
In forever. Never
Literally.
Been in the tournament before. And I agree with you. I test Crawford, Scherner, they pass it. And again, the Michigan State win is a big one in their column, and they now have at least put themselves in the conversation and have opportunities to enhance it. South Florida, saw them in person early, but Anthony Collins was not a part of the mix when I saw them. You have them in the neighborhood with 10 Big East wins, right?
Yeah, they're team number 70 right now, just ahead of the Hawks, and two back of Northwestern. And when I look at South Florida, 11 and 5 now in the Big East, I see a team that has really taken advantage of kind of a quirky bit of unbalanced scheduling in the Big East. Their two repeat opponents this year happen to be Pitt and Villanova, which normally would say, hey, here's a chance to four times get a scalp or two that are really going to get, you know, the committee's attention. Well, the good news is they went 4-0 against Pitt and Villanova, and the bad news is they went 4-0 against Pitt and Villanova.
Exactly.
Because while those games aren't necessarily hurting their chances, they're also not really helping them at this point. Somehow they've gotten to 11-5 in that league, Steve, and they've only beaten one Big East team thus far with a winning record, and that was Cincinnati just this past Sunday down at USF. And Cincinnati, because of its incredibly poor non-conference schedule strength, is still an anchor to teams that beat them because their RPI is in the 70s. So to me, South Florida with, you know, almost a must game against Louisville here tomorrow night, and or West Virginia in the conference regular season finale at home, because we could be looking at the first 12-win Big East team to miss the field if they don't put, you know, another scalp or two on their resume. Because if the ultimate criteria is who in the field did you beat, it's a short list. Right now it's Seton Hall in a game won in the 40s at home. And
how
Seton
difficult.
Hall is 8-9 in the league.
Right, exactly. They're 8-9 in the league. For you, I think for the fan, they can look at a team that is in a BCS conference, and they can get a gauge. Well, they beat them. They lost to them. Give us an idea. If you've been brilliant over the years, Joe, of putting mid-majors into the tournament and seeding them properly on top of that. Give us an idea of the difficulty it is for you to judge their worthiness and their seedability, because it is a mid-major and they do have to play their conference schedule.
Yeah, it's not apples and apples. That's what makes it difficult, and it's not just difficult for me. It's very difficult for the real people who are charged with doing the actual work, and I respect what they do probably more than most people think, because I mimic what they do every day for about 4.5 months. And when you live it, you know, you start to breathe it and feel it. And I would say this to you. It's easier if and when those quote-unquote mid-majors have played really good non-conference opponents, because then you can get more of a closer to an apples-to-apples comparison. You know, a more difficult example would be this year's Drexel team, which has a non-conference strength of schedule in the 240s, I think, the last time I checked. Its best win, the Dragons, is over VCU, a team in their own league, you know, which has a similar gaudy win-loss record, but a spotty schedule. And, you know, Drexel hasn't lost since January the 4th. And they've been getting better and better and better as they go. So
I watched
yourself,
them the other night, Joe. And they absolutely passed the eyeball test. I know that.
Well, I've seen them at least a half dozen times live. And I also called their game, a CAA TV game against VCU.
Right.
In which they did what good Drexel teams do, which is grind the other team down with defense, rebounding, and toughness. Now, what they've got this year that most Bruiser Flint teams have not had over the years is they've got some guys who can also shoot. And I'm here to break news to you, you know, that the game's a whole lot easier, you know, when you put the ball in the basket.
Hold on one second. Let me write that down.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done basketball for 30 years here at Penn State. I'm trying to see.
There you go.
Okay, good. Got it.
and let's face it, we've all had teams that we've been announcers for where, you know, you go to practice and you feel like you got to wear a helmet. You know,
you're
because
right.
The ball's just flying off the rim in every direction. I've had it, you've had it. And
yeah.
Then sometimes, you know, you get, you know, some of the guys that you've had in recent years, or we get a Pat Carroll and the ball always goes in. But
right.
I mean, or at least it looks like it's gonna. And I would say this. I do think the committee is making more and more qualitative judgments as opposed to quantitative judgments in recent years in evaluating these, you know, middling majors, I'll say, teams with losing records in the big boy leagues against, you know, the 25-5 CAA team. I think that's how VCU got in the tournament last year, and I would hope that they're consistent in applying those same kinds of evaluations to Drexel and VCU this year, because to my eyes, and I'm typically one who's opposed to the eye test, but to my eyes, they're both very good and worthy. Now, will the bubble shrink, and will they get squeezed that way without anything of their own doing? It's certainly possible. And you and I have both been on the, you know, first four out list in recent years. So we know how that feels, and it could happen to them again. But they're both pretty good for different reasons. I happen to think Drexel has a better chance to win in the tournament because it's a more unfamiliar style. And, you know, they're going to get you to dance to their tune, and it's going to be 55-55 with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. Certain ones are easy. For example, if Murray State does not win the Ohio Valley, they'll get in.
Correct.
And what will happen is they'll knock out somebody else off the bubble. Those are the easy ones.
Right. Yeah, so like Tennessee State or Austin Peay or Morehead State or whomever, and becomes one of those 21 bid thieves that we've seen in the last 10 years. That's where the average comes from. Or it could be, you know, like the Jerry McNamara year with Syracuse, where they weren't going, but then won, you know, four games in 4 days to steal a bid from who knows who it was that year.
Right, exactly. You know, they won 4-4, and they got in, and they were going to go to the NIT. That's where they were going before they made the run at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they won 2 1-point games, an overtime game, and then in the Big East Championship game, they had a real breather. They only won by 3 against Pitt.
Yeah, and they coasted home.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly right. Give us an idea for you. You're calling games. Give me your pulse on what's going on with the pulse of college basketball. What will the next week and a half be like for you leading up to Selection Sunday as you continue to break it down?
Well, I should first credit Mrs. Brackets as well as my employer, because I do have a real job outside of basketball, for being reasonably indulgent for the next couple of weeks, because you're right, it is. And I mostly just take days off. There'd be no other way to do it. But as an example, I just pulled into the Charlotte airport, did an ESPNU expert show all morning. In fact, it's re-airing right now, so I'm really not omnipresent. It's just videotaped. Flying to Buffalo, because any sane person in February wants to leave 75-degree Charlotte and go to Buffalo.
Well done, Joe.
Yeah, not good planning by me. The Hawks' regular season finale at St. Bonaventure tomorrow night, which is, you know, an hour and a half drive when it's not snowing, from Buffalo to Olean. And that game is for a bye in the Atlantic 10 tournament. And then back to campus for a couple days of my real job. And then sometime Friday night or Saturday up to Bristol. And I'll be on every show they ask me to be on, while also updating regularly on .com. And I'll just commute to wherever St. Joseph's is in the Atlantic 10 tournament, be it, you know, a home court early round game or straight to Atlantic City a week from Friday. My schedule toward the end of all this is really dependent on the Hawks. And many have said to me, Steve, the last couple of years, oh, my gosh, Joe, you've gotten so much more airtime. That must be great. Well, it is, but it's also because my Hawks haven't been playing.
Right.
So it's been available days to do it. The better the Hawks are, the less I'm on, and selfishly, the less money I make. And I'm all ready to make that trade again for the next few years if it means postseason play.
Exactly. I know exactly how you feel about that.
We both do the same. We both make the same choice, right?
We both make the same choice every single time. Every time.
There's something like postseason play, you know, for the team that you're with, because there's just an energy and an excitement. You know, I was thrilled for your NIT run a couple years ago, because, you know, that starts to build too, particularly if you're not a team, you know, that's always in the Sweet 16 or always in the top, you know, 25 in the rankings. Like, winning is good, and it begets more winning. And we've been on both sides of it, and I certainly prefer Burger A.
Yeah, exactly right. Give us just a quick idea, Joe, before I let you go, about the depth of the Atlantic 10 this year. Because that is a mid-major conference that has made its mark, has done well over time. Give us an idea of the depth, the quality depth of the conference this year.
Certainly Temple is the cream of the crop right now, a legitimate Sweet 16 in my eyes, not at all diminished with their loss at Hagen Arena and St. Joseph's the other night. I'm not sure many teams that would have won in that environment. You witnessed it. and it's quite an advantage as Creighton and Dayton and Villanova and Drexel, other really good teams, have also learned this year. I think St. Louis is the next best team in terms of NCAA tournament prospects. Xavier absolutely has the next most amount of talent, but you know their kind of saga of the year since the brawl with Cincinnati has been well chronicled, and frankly, to me, they're just broken. They're just not, the pieces aren't fitting together to make a whole. But they go to St. Louis tonight in a game to kind of save their season, and I'll be very interested to see how that plays out. And I'm hoping against hope, you know, that they still have cable in Buffalo, and I'm able to find that game at 9 o'clock somewhere. And then, you know, after those three, you've got kind of a mishmash of St. Bonaventure and St. Joe's and Dayton and UMass and to a lesser extent LaSalle, teams that have posted some nice wins throughout the year. I hope I'm not being a homer and saying I think the Hawks are the best and most talented team of that group, but they've also lost some games within that group. So, you know, the neutral court in Atlantic City will determine all that. I think ultimately the league will get three bids with maybe two or three more in the NIT.
Joe, always an absolute pleasure. You know that. And get that flight to Buffalo, because I know they're waiting for you with open arms.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm passing here and I'm looking at guys coming off planes with golf clubs, and it's making me very cranky.
I can understand that. And you're getting on the plane with skis.
People always ask me, you know, what does Joe Lenardi do on Selection Monday when it's all over? And the answer is, I head to the driving range. And I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that. Slice or hook?
Yes.
Both.
I'm ambidextrous.
Yeah.
but I hope it's a week later this year, because I hope somewhere to go with SJU. Yeah.
And you guys deserve to be someplace along the way, because Phil has done a great job with the program. And you know what? Next year they're going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah. Joe, thanks so much. Safe trip, safe travels.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Joe Lenardi with us. Joe joining us from Charlotte. He's at the airport getting ready, by the way, to fly to Buffalo. And then on the drive to Olean to the Riley Center, where they'll St. Joe's will take on St. Bonaventure tomorrow night. And just to give you an idea of how he goes about it, who he has in, who he has out. You know, I didn't bring Bucknell into the conversation, because Bucknell is in this position, quite frankly. Must win Patriot League to get to NCAA. If not, then they're an automatic bid to the NIT. And they've had an outstanding year, and they're the favorite to win the Patriot League anyway. They start tomorrow night when they take on Navy. Bottom of the hour is coming up. That means Sarah Bartlett with the news, and then we'll allow Kevin Hurd to rejoin the show, where Kevin will take your phone calls on NASCAR.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, here at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Mix of weather coming in tomorrow, so beware of that. Great to have Joe Lenardi on, Joey Brackett's on from Charlotte, North Carolina. Kevin had a list of guests he wanted to have on today.
I can't top that one. Can't top that one. Not going to try.
Yeah, I left a message on his phone today.
I can say that too now, though, because I left him a message a few minutes before the show started. So I actually can say that I left a message on Joey's phone.
Well, that's good.
Hey, it's the little things in life.
I'll get back to you on that. Well done. No, I'm sorry. I left a message on your phone, I said.
Oh. Yes, you did. And I got
it. Yes. And you called up and laughed.
No, I called up and laughed because... Listen,
I know, you called and laughed.
I laughed because I never quite know whether when you're on the phone, when you leave a message for me, if it's serious or not. Because I get, hey, got somebody on there you might want. It's up to you. It's like... somebody you might want. Let me think a little bit. All right, why not?
I think I said, yeah, I said, I don't know, unless the whatever mundane guest you're going to have.
Right. That's why I was laughing, because I hadn't stopped laughing from dialing the phone even.
But they, you know, but there's the bracketology for you. You know, and what he looks at. And there are a lot of things that he does look at along the way that ends up being factors as to what they, you know, what he wants to do. And it, you know, I talk about the eye test. Well, okay, the eye test is important to me. It's not as important to him. And you know, because it, and I understand that. I understand that. And you know, because he has to go by the numbers. They're also the NCAA tournament selection committee has also done a great job in recent years of giving more people access in the media to the process. They actually bring selected members of the media to Indianapolis and then let them act as selection committee members using the criteria they use. Dick Girardi has been a part of this process twice. And it's not just the selection of the schools. It is also the seeding of those schools in the bracket. Joe Lunardi will get usually 66 or 67 out of 68 right, if not all 68 right. And his seeding is usually dead on. He puts a lot into it. That's why he's on as many shows as he is on for ESPN, whether it happens to be ESPN 2 or U. And he puts a lot into it. And as you can tell, his employer, St. Joe's, St. Joseph's University, generous enough with his time to let him do it. All pluses. And of course, you know, knowing him over the years is, you know, that allows us to get him on the show. I mean, over time, you do develop a Rolodex. So.
And I was looking at some of his current bracket, the way it is now, has Temple dropping a little bit. Has Notre Dame dropping. So it's, I mean, this must be almost every morning he has to come in and update things.
Well, that was the point I tried to make in the interview, Kevin. The point I tried to make in the interview is that when you look at bracketology and when he puts out a bracket, especially that area of last four in, first four out, it is done on a daily basis as if the selection were today. If the selection were today, this is not a predictor. He's not doing a predictor for 10 days from now or 11 days from now. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is that on this particular day, this would be the field of 68 on this day. And which teams would be 69, 70, 71, 72 being last, first four out. All right? So it's on a daily. So tomorrow, you know, depending on the results tonight, what he sees, that list will change as to that particular day, as to who's in and who's out and where they might be seated. And that's how he does it. It is not a predictor for 11 days from now. You cannot, Kevin Herr, fill out your bracket today based on what he put down.
Listen, I wouldn't even attempt to.
No, and it's difficult. There are a lot of factors they have to look at. Yes, look, RPI is important. Dick Girardi and I are not as enamored with RPI, but I will admit I have it on my chart for every game because I do know it's part of the process. It's not the be-all, end-all, the process, the way some make it out to be. I still think you have to pass somewhat of the eyeball test. I mean, I look at Drexel, and I know Drexel's wins, losses, and so forth, and as Joe Lunardi pointed out in our interview in the previous half hour, that they haven't lost since early January. But still, it would behoove Drexel to win the CAA tournament. Because you don't want to risk it. Murray State's an easy one, as I pointed out. Murray State's easy. They're in regardless, and as he said, is a five seed. Right?
Yeah, now, I'm looking at the I'm looking at it now, and he has it listed as a six from when this was updated, and he's probably updated it since then.
Right, he just talked about them being a five. Right. An interesting one, Harvard-Penn. Harvard-Penn is an interesting one because Harvard-Penn and Yale are all in the running to win the Ivy. Only the Ivy, it's the regular season champ that gets in. That's it. Harvard doesn't have enough on the table to get in as an at-large if Penn beats them. And Penn just beat them in Cambridge by one. Zach Rosen hit a couple of free throws with about 22, 23 seconds to go to beat them in Cambridge on Saturday.
I tell you one thing, Bison fans are going to hope he's wrong because he has Bucknell at a 15 taking on Duke in Greensboro. That is, they're hoping for something other than that one, I'm sure.
But you know what? Duke is interesting. Very talented, but not invincible. They've lost a couple times at home. Miami beat them at home. And they've have rallied from 20 down at home to win a couple of games. I mean, Duke has, at times, been outstanding, such as the North Carolina game in Chapel Hill. There have been other moments where they've been sleepwalking. They have as much talent as anybody. You in a 2-15 matchup, you might catch them in a sleepwalk. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565.
I'm just looking here for amusement purposes, how far it is, mileage-wise, Durham to Greensboro. Yeah, was it about 30? Was it 18 miles?
It's 18 miles?
I think it's 18 miles, if I'm looking at it right.
That's okay. Chapel Hill to Durham is 8. I know that because I've driven it. That's 8 miles. Yeah, Greensboro may be 18 miles away. But again, Duke, even at Cameron Indoor, has lost twice and has had to rally from 20 down to win and just went overtime with Virginia Tech at home. That Virginia Tech game was not in Blacksburg. That game was at Durham. So I'm just saying, don't sit there and go, oh, my goodness, they have Duke. That's it. They're finished. They're done. No, 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 no. Duke can be outstanding, as they were against North Carolina and Chapel Hill. But they've also had moments where they've been disinterested. If I'm Bucknell, I bore them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Make them disinterested.
Yes, make them disinterested.
I'm just saying, but they don't have the same level of invincibility as they have now. Are they a great program? Yes. Is Mike Krzyzewski an outstanding coach? Yes. Are they extremely talented? Yes. But even great talent sometimes can be a little disorganized. Even great talent can be disinterested. I would not look at it at, you know, getting Duke in the opening round, while not being great, is not fatal either.
Well, I think one of the examples...
I'll tell you right now, playing Kentucky in the opening round is fatal.
Well, I think one of your examples of disinterested would be the Miami.
Well, that's what I said. They lost the Miami
game. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. That's a great example of being disinterested. That's a game that should have been an easy win on paper.
And Virginia Tech should have been a relatively easy win. They had to go overtime. And then there was another game. They were down 20, rallied back and won. I'm trying to think. That may have been the NC State game. They played NC State. They were up 20, down 20, and they had to rally to win. It's not quite something with Duke. If they get the wrong matchup, they won't survive it. Bucknell starts play tomorrow night. They'll have Ed DeCellis and Navy. Second time in 5 days. The first time around Saturday ended up being a 9-point game, but it was not really, the margin of 9 does not indicate the dominance Bucknell had in the game. But still second time through. Now, the Kevin Herr theory.
What theory is that?
Is that it's hard to beat a team three times in 1 year.
I still stick with that, but I also agree with your addition to that theory. Except
if you're the better team,
that's right.
It's not that bad.
I agree with
take
that.
Take my word.
I agree with that.
If you're the better team, you're usually okay.
But the point is, not always does the better team, Duke, ever always show up.
Well, I understand. I understand. But that's...
And sometimes you can get comfortable with a team that you have handled quite well.
Well, you have to emotionally be ready for it. There's no doubt about that. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Let's jump in. It's your show. Jump in on the conversation. Any particular team you want to talk about? Do you want to know in, out, where they are at this particular stage? We had Joe Lunardi on in the opening half hour talking about all this. Now here's your chance to expand upon it and tell us exactly what you think. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. We're approaching 12 to the hour on WKOK.
It's a President's Week sales event at Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg. That's right, Ford Motor Company and Blaze Alexander Ford are teaming up to save you plenty of Georges and Abes. Stop in now till February 29th and get discounts up to $10,000 on F-250 trucks. Get 0% financing on almost everything we sell. Heck, that's free money from now till February 29th. Plus, we have rebates up to $5,500, and for this President's Week sales event, everything's got an additional $500 rebate for the sale. Plus, if you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle, we've got over 150 pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities to choose from. Whether you're looking to spend $99 a month, $199 a month, whatever, we've got what you're looking for to fit your budget. Plus, you won't have to pay anything until April, and at Blaze Alexander Ford, you always get the most for your trade. So make the drive to Route 45 to Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
If you're a business owner, do you know how to respond and comment on reviews posted about you on the various travel sites, Yahoo, Google, and other electronic media? You will when you attend the TripAdvisor and other business review site seminar with the Greater Susquehanna KIZ. It'll be held at the Bloomsburg Regional Technology Center, Market Street, Bloomsburg, on March 6th from 8 till 10 a.m. Cost is $10 for GSKIZ and Central PA Chamber of Commerce members. All others, $15. For info and to register, go to gskiz.org and click on events or call Kelly O'Brien Gavin at 245-0096.
Let's face it, picking an obstetrician gynecologist is one of the most personal and important choices you will ever make. Hi, I'm Dr. George Miller.
And I'm Megan Schellenberger, physician assistant. Here at Lewisburg Gynecology and Obstetrics, our focus is you and making your visit as relaxing as possible.
We've been helping families grow for over 30 years now and offer services to women of all ages. Our goal is to provide a peaceful atmosphere and help you be the healthiest woman you can be. Schedule your appointment today for your good health.
Call 524-4405 today for your appointment. We are located at 3 Hospital Drive.
At the Central PA Chamber of Commerce, they know your business does a lot for the region, so they offer the perfect blend of small-town hospitality and cutting-edge sophistication. They work hard to promote and grow their member businesses so that each business can reach their full potential. They have many groups available to fulfill their mission, such as business-to-business solutions, business-to-business lead generator, and events like the Business After Hours Grand Expo. Call Bruce Smith at the Central PA Chamber of Commerce at 742-7341 and see how they may be able to help your business.
All right, our poll question is up. I want to know something. Is Sarah Bartlett on Twitter?
Yes.
She is?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You're on Twitter? Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I was on all night last night.
Doing what?
I'm just tweeting different things about the race. You know, I even had there's one even on the Steve Jones Show Facebook page that I copied over. It says, "Steve, they're even tweeting in red flags at Daytona."
Now, he mentioned this to me this morning on the phone. And exactly what was my response?
It's a really good idea. You're right. I'm sorry I ever debated you.
I said, no, exactly where did he finish?
That's what you might have said, but that's not what I heard. I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood.
Now, the question that we have on the website, and by the way, the Joe Lenardi interview is already posted on the website at stevejonesshow.com. So if you missed that interview and all of its brilliance, you can go to stevejonesshow.com and relive it, which is exactly what Drew Kelly and Sean Carey are doing right now.
Absolutely.
And the number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That's the number to call. And the question about whether I should be on Twitter more often.
That's right. Should Steve Jones tweet more? Or in this case, at all?
What would I do? What would you want me to tweet right now?
You know what? I don't know right this second. This is a Steve thing. What would you tweet?
What would you tweet at this particular moment?
Steve Jones arguing with me about whether he should tweet.
And your legion of followers would then join in?
They might comment. They might come back and say, you know what? You're right. Steve should be tweeting. I'd love to hear what he has to say during games.
I mean, do you want me tweeting tomorrow night during the Purdue basketball game?
Listen, I would love to see that happen.
Aren't I saying enough along with Dick Girardi during the broadcast?
I want to know stuff that I wouldn't hear in the broadcast, though. All right, hang on one second. You think about that.
We tell everybody what we think to begin with. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. And Chief's on the line. Chief!
This ought to be good.
Chief, hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. How about yourself?
Number one, congratulations.
On a great
win on Friday night. I'm thrilled for you, Dave.
Well, the girls did a fantastic job. Coach Lou Delgrati did a great job of getting them ready, and they just wanted to win. It was one of those nights that you could see it in their eyes. They weren't going to go away without a victory, and that's great when you get that. And I called to let everybody know that we're headed into the semifinal tonight. We're going up to Danville tonight
to play
the number two seed, Shamokin. And if we win this one, we're in the district finals, and that's not too shabby for any team, but for a team that finished as the sixth seed and 11-11, it would be just a fantastic finish.
When you win a game, as you did on Friday night, what kind of energy have you seen in practice leading up to tonight, Chief?
Well, the kids have practiced great ever since we've gotten into the finals. You know, they get a little bit more of a beat in their step, a little quicker. But the one thing you notice the most is just the attitude. There's no more, little crying and whining about, oh, do we have to do this drill? Do we have to do this conditioning? They're ready. They know that the drills have helped and that also the conditioning has been a big part of their success. So, you know, they start to believe what we've actually been trying to tell them, all right, for the last 12 weeks.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I remember one year Penn State made a run to the Final Four of the NIT. And I asked Bruce Parkhill, I said, Bruce, how do you feel about this group? And this was during the run. And he said, you know, it's really great to show up at practice, and you know they're just going to do what they have to do. And it's a great feeling as a coach, and that's the feeling you're experiencing right now.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. The girls, we've got the senior leadership in Lauren Onisi and Sarah Young, and our junior point guard, Alexis Angstad, along with another junior, Corey Yerger, have just really stepped up. And we have a sophomore center and a freshman center, and Raven Fatul and Bernie Chaney, and they've come a long way. And like it's really nice to see everything come together. We were just talking the other night, and we thought, you know, for the last four or five games, we played very well. And, you know, it's nice to see that the kids buy into the system, the good defense, the really high pressure man-to-man. You know, you go full speed all the time, and they have done that. And I'm hoping they continue to do that tonight as we head up to Danville.
Okay, what do they bring to the table that you will have to counter successfully?
Well, they've got height. They are man for man. Most teams have been taller than us, but they have girls, the Bonshot girl and the Panchak girl, that are both very good big players. They're good fives, and the other thing is the Bonshot girl can step outside and also hit a three. And we've struggled with that. When somebody has a good post player, we really have to bear down, and we have to have somebody. You know, sometimes we have to double up, but this part, you just have to pick it up a little, play just that much harder. And that's the one thing that Shamokin will bring. And plus, they bring a record. They bring a winning, that's a team that's used to being in the playoffs. And, you know, that's also something that's difficult to get over, the fact that they come in with a lot of confidence, too. So I really am expecting a good game. And I know our girls, girls have been in the playoffs before. When the seniors were sophomores, they won the district championship. And, it's nice to play in front of the crowd. And it's also nice to keep going this time of the year when a lot of teams have finished.
Well, we're excited for you, Dave. Very, very excited. We wish you nothing but the best tonight. Hope it's a great game for you. Now, by the way, one quick note before you leave.
Okay.
Kevin Hurt is talking about the fact that he thinks I should tweet during broadcasts I should be on Twitter. You're around this all the time, Dave. What is the experience like?
Well, listen, I ignore him, all right?
There's a surprise.
I have a cell phone. I've had a cell phone for quite a while. I'm calling from it now. I just now have unlimited texting, all right? I am not ready to tweet, not ready to go to Twitter, and I'm certainly not going on to Facebook. So, I figure that I've got to do with my job as it is. And like I told you, Kevin can do a million things at once, and for the most part, he does them all pretty good. But I don't know if I can do that.
The more I talk to you, the more I like you. Okay, Dave, thanks. Hey, good luck tonight, buddy. I hope it really goes great for you and for the girls.
Save me a seat, Chief.
All right, we'll do. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later. Right? Bye-bye.
Top of the hour, CBS News, then the incomparable Sarah Bartlett as we continue on the Steve Jones Show.